Good morning. My name is Susie Romack, and I am your hostess for today, and welcome to Declare Victory. It's no coincidence that you are here with us today. We know you are going to be blessed, and we thank you for joining us. The events for today are as follows. Today is Thankful Thursday, and it's a day set aside to remind people just how thankful that you are for them. Feel free to share your stories regarding this in the Victory Room. You are invited to join our separate men and women's calls. Men of Value Everywhere and Walk It Out will both be held tonight at 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Lastly, the Declare Victory family has been personally invited by Pastor Patrick Foster to join Abundant Grace Fellowship Ministries on September the 25th, 2016 at 3 o'clock p.m. for an appreciation celebration. Our very own Pastor Lavelle Jones will be one of the speakers for this wonderful event, so you don't want to miss it. Mark your calendars and we will see you there. The church is located at 4197 Lakeside Drive, Suite 100, Richmond, California. Pastor Foster sends his utmost thanks for all of our prayers for him and his congregation, and he wants to see us there. Excuse me. There are no online prayer requests. The order of the call is as follows. Scripture by Juliet. Declaration by Brother Marcus. Praying first will be Barbara. Praying second, Erica. Praying third and closing will be E.K. Dawson. I'll repeat that. Scripture by Juliet. Declaration by Brother Marcus. Praying first will be Barbara. Praying second, Erica. Praying third and closing will be E.K. Dawson. Please don't forget to mute your lines by using your standard mute button or use star 6. Everyone have a blessed and wonderful day. Be safe out there. God bless you and I love you all as I pass the call to Juliet.
Thank you, Susie, and I hope you feel better.
Thank you.
Good morning, DV family. This is Juliet, and I will be reading to you from the Bible, called the Everyday Study Bible, and it's the New Century Version. I'll be reading from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. The love of Christ. So I bow in prayer before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth gets its true name. I ask the Father in his great glory to give you the power to be strong inwardly through his Spirit. I pray that Christ will live in your hearts by faith and that your life will be strong in love and be built on love. And I pray that you and all God's holy people will have the power to understand the greatness of Christ's love, how wide and how long and how high and how deep that love is. Christ's love is greater than anyone can ever know, but I pray that you will be able to know that love. Then you can be filled with the fullness of God. With God's power working in us, God can do much, much more than anything we can ask or imagine. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus for all time, forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. And you all have a beautiful Thursday as I pass the call.
Good morning, everyone. And I hope everyone is having a great morning today. I almost forgot I was supposed to be doing the declaration, but I got it. I'm ready. And I hope you are. Before I begin, I just want to remind you all, if you would, just take a moment and double check and make sure that your line is muted, whether it's using the standard mute feature or pressing star 6, just to be sure that, you know, your line is clear. Today, I want to share with you all something that I've been blessed to do. I was asked about a month ago, maybe longer than that ago, but I was asked by a youth pastor of mine to come and help them with their youth department. They have Wednesday night Bible classes, and they do 12-week sessions, and they were preparing to start a new session for their Bible classes, 12-week sessions, and yesterday was the third week, and we've been having quite a great time. Now, they asked me to take over and teach the youth class, which, of course, that's right up my alley. That's what I love to do. So I've been teaching the teenagers. And the book we've been studying out of is really very challenging. It's challenging and thought-provoking. And it's by a Christian rap artist by the name of Trip Lee. The book is called Rise. If you ever get a chance to read it or check it out, it's a great read, especially for your young people, I would say. So I just want to share a few tidbits of what I've been sharing with these kids. And I'm sure that it will bless you, because the thing about it is, as I've been sharing with these young people about this information, it's been blessing me as well. You know, a lot of times you're teaching kids and you're thinking it's just for the kids. But, of course, whenever you teach anyone, you know, no matter who it is, young or old, there you can always find something in it for yourself. So the first part that we started talking about was something called 7 a.m. logic, 7 a.m. logic. And what this was in the beginning, he was saying that there was when this young man first got saved, when he first became a Christian, he was challenged with being excited about it. The challenge came because he was excited about becoming a Christian, and he wouldn't share it with someone. And the adult that he shared it with at the time had kind of reacted to him in a peculiar kind of way. The way he responded was just not what he expected. You know how you go to somebody with something exciting and you say, you know, hey, I just got a new car, and, you know, wow, it's exciting, and the car drives like this, and it's my favorite color, and I love it. It's my favorite car. It's my favorite color. It drives well. It has all these features in it. It has, you know, I can use my phone. I don't even have to connect my phone. It connects Bluetooth wirelessly, and you can say all this stuff about it. And then when you finish talking, you look at the other person, and they go, oh, that's not all that great. You know, that was his response to him being Christian. But it was even more than that. What it was, he said, the guy said to him, he came to him and he told him how excited he was to be a Christian. And his response was this, and I'm going to read it for you. He says, he gave me a confused look and calmly asked, why are you taking life so seriously, young man? Why are you trying so hard to do everything right? Youth is the time when you mess up a lot, and that's okay. Somebody, please mute your line. I can hear background noise. He says, youth is the time when you mess up a lot, and that's okay. Just enjoy yourself. Learn from those mistakes and get serious when you get older. And he was stunned by the guy's response. Really? Don't take your life so seriously? Why are you trying so hard to do everything right? Youth is the time you mess up a lot, and that's okay. But, you know, surprisingly enough, there are many of us who feel like that, you know, the younger we are, it's not that important. There are many people, I should say, not us, but, you know, there are many people who believe that. You know, you're young, go out and sow your wild oats and enjoy life and have fun and mess up now so when you get older you can just live. What offended him the most about this is that the guy didn't challenge him to get up, to rise up, and to go and do the best you can while you're young so you can be even better when you get older. The 7 a.m. logic means this. He talks about, you know, waking up every every day, and not waking up every day. And when you wake, when the alarm goes off, and you know you got to wake up at a certain time, instead of you getting up and getting up at 7 a.m. when the alarm goes off, he would hit the snooze button and just, you know, I could sleep in a little bit more. I could take a little more time. And so that's the 7 a.m. logic. Instead of getting up, you decide, I'm just going to sleep in. Well, what does that have to do with in relation to him sharing what he did with the guy? This is it. He was saying that the 7 a.m. logic has to do with your life, meaning that instead of us getting up and rising and being the best we can be now, we decide, oh, no, I can procrastinate a little longer. I don't need to do my best right now. Maybe this can wait. Maybe being the best man I could be can wait. Maybe being the best woman I could be can wait. Maybe, maybe I can, you know, for different reasons, you know, maybe because you're hurt. Well, I'm just going to have fun now because I've been hurt before. Or, I can relate to that in the sense, you know, how sometimes you go through a life challenge and then you just feel like, well, forget it. I'm not going to try anymore. Well, that's not the way God wants us to live. He wants us to get up and live, even though we've been through trials, even though we've been hurt, even though we've been through some things. We can still get up and live and be the best person, best people that we can be, despite what we've been through. So then our second chapter talks about the LeBron James effect. Now, I thought this was really interesting, how we were talking about the LeBron James effect. And this is talking about rising. The first part, again, is rising up no matter where you are, no matter how young you are, no matter how old you are. Rise up now. Stop using 7 a.m. logic thinking you could do it later. The next chapter talks about LeBron James effect. Now, at the time when he had first discovered LeBron James, all of us know LeBron James now. He's this great superstar. He's won the series from last year. But back in the day, this book came out like 2014 or something. And so he said he had got the ESPN magazine, and when he had saw this guy on the cover of the magazine, when he first discovered LeBron James, LeBron James had at first been recruited, he kind of misjudged LeBron and was like, well, you know, he's just another rookie player. And, you know, the idea is that most of the time people just hype these folks up. And, you know, once they get in the game, they don't really prove to be all they're hyped up to be. And so he misjudged him, because as soon as LeBron got in, he just was smashing and hitting and, you know, really proving that he deserved to be recruited, unlike many other players. Most of the time, the players take time. It takes 2-3 years to really make some noise and really, you know, prove themselves. But LeBron, you know, he smashed all those records. What does that have to do with what I'm talking about now? Well, same thing with what I said about rising before. A lot of times we don't rise up. We don't do what we're supposed to do because we're misjudged. We just fall in with what everybody else does. Instead of us getting up and being a part of the 1%, we choose to be a part of the 99%. And that's not God's will either. Never just recluse or just lay back because, you know, people have misjudged you or they misinterpreted who you were. Rise up from where you are and be who God called you to be, and prove that, yes, you can make it. Yes, you can be the best woman. Yes, you can be the best man. Yes, you can get married again. Yes, you can make it out of this trial in this tough time. You can make it through this. Don't just sit back and relax. Rise up from that and keep going. Don't allow assumptions of what people think. You know, are you just like everybody else? You don't have to do much. You know, you can just sit back and chill. Well, that's not God's way. God wants us to get in the game. Get in the game, get off the bench. And that's the next part, which we talked about yesterday in our Bible class. He said, don't envy the bench. Don't be a bench warmer. So one thing is that the best players in the game are not bench warmers. They are people who get a hold of the ball, get off the bench, and get in the game. They play the game. They don't sit back and, you know, watch everybody. Bench warmers spectate. The real players get in and they play. And God's will is that we are in the game. Our head is in the game. Our eyes are on the plays. And why is that important? Because we were all created for a purpose. Now let me just say this. Let me bring something to your attention by asking this question. What were animals, or let me ask this, how does an animal praise the Lord? How does an animal praise the Lord? Animals praise the Lord by doing what they were called to do, right? So, they do what they were called to do. So whatever animal you could think of, they naturally, without thinking, a bird chirps, right? Whatever animal you could think of, they just do what they were created to do, right? So why is it that us as people, we have a hard time with doing what we're supposed to do for those reasons? One of the reasons that I shared earlier, we have 7 a.m. logic. We are too busy spectating and watching the game instead of getting in for several reasons. I mean, some of us, sometimes we can be lazy, we can procrastinate, we can think it's not that important or somebody else will do it, or we're afraid. And neither of those things is what God's will is for us. His will is that we get up and that we rise and that we do what we were called to do, and that we become who we were called to become. Be a part of God's story for us, whatever that may be. It may look different for you. My story is not your story. Your story is not mine. Each of us have a story. I can tell you this, though, but that no matter what your story may be, it matters, and it is important. You, my sister, are important. You, my brother, are important. Whatever you were called to do, maybe there are some people's lives who could be touched, even through all of this stuff that is going on, the killings, the black man being killed. There may be some people that you can affect, or that you can have an effect upon, because you're walking in your purpose. Your purpose can make it have an effect on the world tragedies that are taking place, the bombing in the East Coast, and you know, you never know. And it may seem like that your part may be really small, like I don't know, something as simple as feeding people or giving people rides, or it may seem something as small, but you'll be surprised how big of an impact your purpose can make, even if it seems so small. So, which was another one of the things that I was talking to the young people about last night, was learning how to not just sit back and not do anything, but to step up and do what you were called to do. But first, that requires you knowing what you were called to do. And the only way to know that is to connect with your Creator, connect with God, and understand what your purpose is. Now, another thing is your purpose can change. As you get older, as you go through life, as you experience certain things, your purpose can be different. It can change. You know, my purpose when I was younger was to, you know, when I was a teenager, was to, you know, play music. Okay, I learned to play music. I'm still learning. I'm not perfect at it. But, you know, I perfected that gift to some degree. And then my purpose changed to become a choir director. I did that for some years, became a choir director. Then my purpose after that was to teach choirs. Okay, I worked on that, became that. Then my purpose changed to become a minister. okay, I worked on that and became that. You know, your purpose changes. It keeps changing. Before I came to this prayer call, there were some things that I experienced or some things that I went through that brought me to where I am now. So I want you to think about it. What is it that you have gone through? What is it that you have experienced in your life that has brought you to your now? And I want you to ask yourself, are you using what you've been through to be who you are right now? Because what you have been through is working, you know, I don't want to sound cliche, it's cause, you know, or just throw out a Bible verse just because this is really connecting. Are you really doing what God has called you to do? Now, you know how the scripture says all things work together for good to them who love the Lord and who are called in according to his purpose. What I'm really saying is, are you using what your all things to be who you are, to be all that you can be? Are you looking at what you've been through? You know, maybe you've lost some loved ones. Maybe you've been through a tough relationship. Maybe you've lost a child. Maybe you've lost a job. Maybe you were mistreated, abused, or, you know, whatever. Are you allowing those things to not cause you to sit back and relax? Instead, are you allowing that to help you rise? Because the very things that we've experienced are what we are to stand on so that we can rise up. Those are supposed to be stepping stones. Those are supposed to be stairs. Your enemies, the ones that are fighting you, that are against you, that are talking about you, that are, you know, seem to be not on your side, those people are to be the ladder to help you get to where you're supposed to be. Your trials are what help you to get to where you are going. God has a purpose in all that. God has a plan in all that. Listen, God doesn't ever, he doesn't, I heard somebody say this before, God never wastes time. He never wastes our trials, our tears. He never wastes our pain. It's never just that was just a hurt and that's it. No, you know, God uses those things to help us be our best us. And so my prayer is that wherever you are now, wherever you've been through, that instead of you just sitting back, instead of you reclusing and shutting down and closing yourself out and just, you know, hiding from everything, my prayer is that you rise up. Somebody needs to hear your story. Somebody needs to see you walking forward. Somebody needs to see you standing up. There were several businesses and ministries that have been created out of pain. There are several things that have been initiated because of someone going through some stuff. In fact, most of the things that are in place today were birthed out of some trouble and some trials. And so my brother, my sister, with the heart share today, I pray that that you are encouraged and that you know that we cannot afford, as people of God, to just sit back. We cannot afford, as people who have purpose, to just sit back. Let's be like the animals. Let's just go walk in our purpose. You know, like a horse, you know, if somebody gets up on the horse don't, you know, turn around and say, what you doing on top of me? Get off my back. You know, the horse was designed, you know, we use the horse for that purpose. And the horse doesn't kick up against that and throw people off, you know, unless there's something wrong with the horse. Oh, wow, that's a whole nother declaration. But I just want to encourage you to walk in your purpose. Be who you're called to be. You know, allow God to use you, even if it's challenging and scary. Yes, it's supposed to be that way. And it doesn't mean that you have to be perfect. Here's another thing, one last thing. It doesn't mean you have to be perfect in what you do or who you are. In fact, what the word perfect mean, and many of us know this, in the Bible, many times they use the words perfect, the word perfect, and what it really means is maturing, growing, getting better, becoming more than what you are now. So I pray that you perfect yourself, that you perfect your craft, that you perfect your person, that you don't just recluse and fall back and be comfortable in where you are. I pray that you become uncomfortable. I pray that you feel challenged. I pray you're motivated enough to not sit back and just be, you know, be simple. I pray that God gives you the wherewithal to walk out of the door, to go ahead and do everything, flush out every talent, flush out every idea, do everything that you have in your heart to do now. Because truthfully, none of us know when our time is up, you know. So we want to be purposeful. We want to be useful while the time is here, while we have our full mind, while we have there are not many limitations. And even if we have some limitations, you know, if God is speaking to you and pulling at you, he can still use you at this point in time. So I pray this blessed you. I pray that something touched you and inspired you. God bless you as I pass the call to the first prayer warrior.
Good morning, Heavenly Father. Once again, I come this morning, Lord, just praising your name and lifting you up, Father. Just thanking you, Lord, for this wonderful day that you've allowed us to wake up and see another day, Lord. Someone didn't wake up this morning, Father, and we just thank you. We thank you for the privilege of studying your word and hearing that awesome declaration, Lord, reminding us that you have a plan for us, Lord Jesus. Lord, this morning I just lift up Susie to you, Father, asking you, Lord, to touch her body, touch her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, Lord Jesus. Heal her body, Lord Jesus. She's your servant, Lord, and I just ask you to continue to bless her and her family, Lord Jesus. Lord, I lift up Gwen to you and all those that are traveling, Lord Jesus. Give us traveling grace, Lord. Allow us to get to our destinations without any hurt, harm, or danger, Lord. Put a hedge around each of us, Lord. As PFBC is going up to a retreat for planning, Lord, I just ask that you totally be in the midst of us, Lord Jesus. Totally have your way with all of us, Lord. I lift our pastor and his wife up to you, Lord. Thanking you for them, Lord. Asking you to continue to bless as only you can bless, Lord Jesus. Lord, I lift up Dion and Josiah to you, Lord. Asking you to continue to heal Josiah's body, Lord. I lift up Michelle and Maddie to you, Father. Asking you to continue to heal them, Lord. I lift up Bubbly to you, Lord. Thanking you for her, Lord. I lift up everyone under the sound of my voice. I didn't hear all the prayer requests, Father, but I know that you heard them all, Lord. And I just ask you and thank you in advance for what I know you're already working on and doing in each of our individual lives, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you are instructing us in the way we should go and that you are guiding us with your eyes, Lord Jesus. I thank you for your guidance and your leading concerning your will, Lord, your plan, and your purpose for all of our lives, Lord Jesus. I do hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, for I know you and I follow you. You lead us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, that our path is growing brighter and brighter until it reaches the full light of day, Lord. As we follow you, Lord, I believe our path is becoming clear each day, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, that Jesus has made unto us wisdom, Lord Jesus. Confusion is not a part of our lives, Lord Jesus. We're not confused about your will in our lives, Lord. We trust in you and lean on you, Lord. We lean not to our own understanding as we acknowledge you in all of your ways. You're directing our paths, Lord Jesus. I believe that as we trust in you completely, you will show us the path of life, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, you are such a merciful and awesome God, Lord. And we're just so thankful this morning, Lord. Just thankful for being alive, Lord. Thankful for breathing, Lord. Thankful for waking up in a reasonable amount of sanity, Lord. But somebody's confused this morning, Father. Lord, I just lift up Marcus to you, Lord, thanking you for him, Lord, asking you to continue to anoint his mind, Lord, continue to bless him, Lord, continue to bless his family and his mom, Lord, and his children, Lord Jesus. Father, I just thank you this morning, Lord. You're such an awesome God. No matter how many times I say it, Lord, it'll never be enough, Lord. We can't make it in this world without you, Lord. We need you, Lord Jesus. We need you every hour, Lord Jesus. Every minute, every second, Lord. I just praise you right now, Father. Thanking you for your guidance and your leading, Lord Jesus. Father, I just thank you for the sun and the moon and the stars and the rain, Lord Jesus. I lift up our young people to you, Lord, asking you to continue to lift them up, Lord Jesus. Touch them in a special way, Lord. Allow them to know and see that you love them as well as you do all of us, Lord, and that their lives can be different, Lord. They don't have to sow their royal oats, Lord. They can trust in you, Father. I just ask that you continue to help us as adults be an example for our young people, Lord, so that they don't see us acting crazy, so they don't be trying to act crazy also, Lord. Lord, I just lift up everyone under the sound of my voice, Father. You know what requests that were unspoken, Father. You know what we need before we even say it, Lord Jesus. And I just ask you to be with us, Lord, today. I just thank you, Lord. I just magnify your name, Lord. I just love you, Lord. I just praise you, Lord. I just ask these things in your darling son Jesus' name as I pass the call.
Lord, I continue to give you praise for today, God, for waking each and every one of us up, giving us another opportunity to praise you, Lord. So we come to you first thing this morning and just say thank you, Daddy, for waking us up. Thank you for life. Thank you for health and strength. Thank you for breath, Lord Jesus. God, we just ask that you enter into our hearts this morning. God, forgive us for anything that we may have done or said or thought, Lord Jesus, that was not right. Father, anything that we have done or said or thought that was contrary to your word, Lord, we just ask that you forgive us, Father, for anything that we've done to those that require forgiveness. Father, you know. And just show us that we might have a clean heart and a right spirit, God. Lord, I thank you for this day that we are able to go out and do your will and do your work. God, give us a willing spirit. Help us, oh God, to say yes when you give us direction. Lord Jesus, I ask that you cover us as we travel. Lord God, we thank you for your favor. Lord, we know that there's so much going on in the world, and even in our own lives, we have trials, Lord God, but you always couple that with something that we can say thank you for. You always cover us with blessings, God. We thank you for your provision. We thank you for food and shelter and clothes and family, Lord God, and love. Father, we just ask that you cover each and every household that we're a part of and those that are connected to us. God, that they be built on a foundation of you, Lord Jesus, and that we are able to live together in our marriages in harmony and peace and unity, God, that our marriages are holy and that they're good examples, oh God, of the union that Christ has with the church, Lord God. Father, give us the strength to be able to do that because it's only through you. Lord God, cover our children as they go to school, as they work, Lord Jesus, young and old, Lord God, just cover our children. We pray, oh God, that everything that we've done and said to impart your word into them, Lord, that it comes to their remembrance, that it just resonates in their spirit, that they might walk in a way, God, that is representative of you, representative of our households, Lord God. Father, I ask that you touch those loved ones that we have that have yet to come to the knowledge of Christ, Lord God. We ask that there's something that we can do or say, someone we can be in their lives, God, that leads them right to you, that leads them right to you, that helps them to understand that you are waiting for them, that you want them, Lord Jesus, and you want to be in relationship with them. God, help us. Be an example on our jobs and our workplaces and at school, Lord Jesus, that others might see us and want to know more of you. Father God, I just ask that you cover Brother Marcus. I thank you for his declaration today, God. Help every word that we hear do something in us and make us change. Make us change for the better, Lord God. Every day you bless us with a word, Lord God. So we just ask that every day we become more and more like you. God, ultimately that is our goal, God, to be like you, to love like you, and to forgive like you, Lord God, to give like you. Help us, Lord, seek out opportunities to be a blessing to people. Help us not to be selfish, God, in our actions and even in our prayers, Lord Jesus, that we always remember those who are worse off than we are, God. There's so many families that are hurting, Lord God, from death, from murder, Lord Jesus. Touch them. Fill every void, Lord God. Help us understand that we don't have to understand why. That we don't have to understand the situation, but that you ultimately are in control and that you have that under control just like you have our minds and our hearts, God, that you can give us peace in the midst of every storm, peace that passes all understanding, Lord God. So I just ask that you cover each family that is grieving and are hurting right now from the loss of a loved one. Cover them, Lord. Father God, those that are in the hospital rooms next to their loved ones, those that are at home waiting for procedures and diagnoses and prognosis, Lord God, just cover them. Give them peace and strength, Lord Jesus. Lord God, for unborn children, Lord, that you cover them as they're in their womb, that they will make it here and fulfill their destiny, Lord God. Father, people who are in prison, Lord Jesus, rightfully or wrong, that you cover them, that you cover their minds, that you keep them sane, Lord Jesus, that you keep them on the right track so that they can get out and be rehabilitated and enter back into society, Lord Jesus, that while they're in there, that they're able to turn their heart to you, that you're able to find them even in that space, Lord God, and change their minds and their hearts about, not just about the world, but about who they are, God, that you called all of us, that you have a plan for all of us, and it is to prosper, not to harm us, Lord God. So touch those, Lord Jesus, that are in prison. Touch those, Lord God, that are making those decisions, that are putting them on that path, that they might turn around, that someone, something might happen to change their minds, to change their hearts, Lord God. There's so much evil going on in the world, but God, you are bigger than all of it. And so, Father, we just thank you and praise you, God, that you are a deliverer. Because some of us was on that path, Lord Jesus, and you saved us. You reached down and you picked us up. You dusted us off, Lord God, and now we have work to do. Help us, O God, to fulfill our purpose, to fulfill the destiny that you have planned for us, Lord God. Father, reveal it to us. In time, we know that we don't need to know everything, God, but when you point us in the direction, help us to go, Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you for those men and women that serve in our military, Lord God, that sacrifice their life, that sacrifice their families and time with them, Lord God, to protect and serve this country. Keep them safe, Lord God, especially those that are connected to the people on this line. We have you know the names, Lord God. We just ask that you cover their minds and their hearts, that you give them peace, that you give them comfort, that you give them strength and courage in the name of Jesus. Father God, I thank you for declare victory and just a time to come together to commune with you, Lord God. Your word says that the prayers of the righteous availeth much, Lord Jesus, and there is much to be done. There is much to pray for, Lord God. So I thank you for your ear. I thank you for your heart. I thank you for your love. I thank you for calling each and every one of us your friend, your daughter, your son, Lord God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that we have come this far by faith. Lord God, cover us as we go today. And just give us today our what we need for today, Lord Jesus. Your word says that there's enough worry for tomorrow. So let's just focus on today. Help us to be positive. Help us to focus on those things that are joyous, Lord God, because you have given us so much to be joyful for. And so we just continue to praise you, give you honor and glory, because you are a good, good Father. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that I ask this and any other blessings as I pass the call.
Father, in Jesus' name, God, we come thanking you and we come praising you. We come exalting your name, Lord God. We come to give you all the praise and honor and the glory that you're so richly do, God. God, there's no anybody. There's no nothing. There's no substance. There's no device. There's no anything that can equate to how great that you really, really are, Lord God. Our minds can't even fathom that the greatness, Lord God, of you and all of your deity, oh God. God, we thank you, Lord, that you are just everything. We can't even articulate how many things that you are because you're omnipresent. You're omniscient, Lord God. God, I just come to thank you. We come this morning to lift up our voices and to say thank you, oh God. Thank you for being our Father. Thank you for being Abba, Father. Lord, we come just to say thank you this morning, God. God, we come and with troubled hearts, man. Just our hearts are troubled, Lord God, this morning over different situations, Lord God. But God, they're not so much distroubled or we're not so much in distress, Lord God, because we know that you're able to be omnipresent. You can be in every situation all at the same time, but our flesh sometimes gets troubled, Lord God. There are situations in everywhere. There's situations in New Jersey, Lord God, about the pipe bomb. There's stabbings in Minnesota. There's bombs being electronically set off in New York, Lord God. God, we've had killings upon killings upon killings upon every race, particularly the African-American community. But every race, Lord God, is going through some type of trial, some type of situation, God. So we're praying, Lord God, that even in the atmosphere, Lord God, that you would lift the atmosphere, Lord God, because you're more able than able, Lord God. And then we would come together as your people, Lord God. If my people who are called by my name, if we would come together, Lord God, like we're doing right now, Lord God, and intensify our prayer, intensify who we are in you, Lord God, and continue to be the people of God. Continue to wave the banner and the standard, Lord God, that you would be Jehovah Nissi, Lord God. Continue to be who we need to be. We need to be the people of God and to walk by faith and not by sight, Lord God, that we would continue to be your people and be the people committed to prayer, Lord God. God, I know that you would continue to place blood over our doorposts, Lord God, that whatever enemy would not attack us, Lord God, and that we would be covered by your blood, Lord God. So we plead your blood on America, Lord God. We pleaded on the Bay Area. We pleaded in Vallejo and Richmond and Oakland and Stockton and Santa Rosa and everywhere that the footprint of declaring victory is, Lord God, but not just for us, Lord God. We wouldn't be that selfish, but for the world, Lord God, that the blood would go over every situation, every school situation, every killing, every stabbing, Lord God. God, my heart goes out to the Prothero family that lost their son, Lord God, in Richmond just the other day, Lord God. Bless Yolanda Prothero and James Prothero, the mother and father, and Ja'Cory and the young man that was killed with Javante, Lord God, James Jr. Bless their entire household, Lord God. Bless them indeed. Lift them up, Lord God. God, as they go through this, I have to bury a son, Lord. We pray now, Lord God, for all those that are senseless. It just doesn't even make sense. It's just senseless killing, Lord God. Give us the strength and give us the understanding. But God, also give us a word to be able to comfort the heart, a word in prayer. Continue to let us to be on the side and be intercessors, Lord. Even just the support of the community, Lord God. So many things are just going on everywhere, Lord God. But just like it is, your spirit, like killings are rampant, your spirit is rampant. Your healing is rampant. Your healing is free and it's for everyone, Lord God, and we thank you. Your deliverance is free and it's for everyone, and we thank you, Lord God. We come praying for those that are on the prayer list, Lord God, and those that have had requests before you, Lord God. We know that you're more than able, God. We pray that whatever it is in whatever situation, Lord God, that we know that you have the ability, Lord God. We just have to have the faith. We know that you have the power, Lord God. So we ask by your power and by your spirit that you would touch, heal, and deliver, Lord God. Thank you even, Lord God, for Josiah and his situation, Lord God. Bless Dion and Jackie and all their household, Lord God. All those are close, his godparents, Lord God, his grandparents. All those that are concerned, Lord God, that are praying to the side, Lord God. And we thank you because we're watching a miracle happen right in front of us, Lord God. So bless him indeed. Protect him, Lord God. And then we speak encouragement. We speak the fresh breath and a wind of the Holy Ghost to renew their strength, Lord God, as they go through this, Lord God, and that they would not only be strengthened and renewed and refreshed, Lord God, but through this testimony, Lord God, they would be able to stand up and say what a miracle looks like and what a mighty God we serve, Lord God. So we speak total healing, Lord God, in its time, Lord God, that total healing would come and that you would bless that young man, Lord God, and continue to bless the body of Josiah, Lord God, and bless him, God. We continue to pray for just every soul that is connected to the declaring victory, Lord God. We pray for our pastors, Lord God. We pray for our children, Lord God. We pray for the men's call, the other calls, Lord God. We pray, but we all pray that we would come together united in one cause, Lord God, because we need to intensify our prayer, Lord God, as our corporate prayer, Lord God, that we come so that we could have our loins girded up so we could be prepared for whatever attack, foreign and domestic, Lord God. And just as it could be an attack on our country and on our cities, Lord God, attack of the enemy, that we need to have ourselves girded up, Lord God. God, I thank you for a consciousness of a fresh mind, a renewed mind, a God-led mind, a kingdom mindset, Lord God, that we would continue to pray your word, Lord God, and to pray your promises on every situation, Lord God. We plead again, we plead the blood on every situation, Lord God, because we know that you are more than able and that there's power in your blood, God. So we thank you, Lord God. God, we thank you for the ministers that are on the call, Lord God, those that have a call in their life for ministry, Lord God. God, we pray for those that are going back and going to school, Lord God, that are trying to improve their craft and their education, their spiritual education, Lord God, that they would grow, Lord God, that they would continue to grow, that those that are going to seminary and taking some type of class that are then trying to improve their self, Lord God, continue to bless them indeed, Lord God. God, we thank you, God. God, continue, Lord God, to lay your hand and to see your handprint, Lord God, on us. We thank you that you are protecting us, that you are guiding us, that you are directing us, Lord God. Bless the declaration, Lord God. It was wonderful, Lord God, and we continue to thank you, God. Now, God, as we prepare to take our phone off of mute, Lord God, and we corporately begin with our mouths, Lord God, to give you the fruit of our lips, Lord God, as we take our phones off mute and then charge this atmosphere, Lord God,
for safety and for protection, but most of all,
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Deborah,
your purpose, Lord God. We love Lord,
we're
going to
we give you all the
your
praise.
Your will, Lord.
All the
oh, thank you, Lord.
And all the glory.
Oh, Jesus.
God, we thank you for everyone.
Yes,
every
Lord.
Praise, and every praise.
Jesus.
And God,
thank you, Lord God.
This call back right now, Lord.
Jesus.
Pass it back to
thank you, Lord God.
That is going to take us from this, our host.
Jesus.
That is going to take us back to the Love, Light, and Victory conversation.
Yes,
we bless you in Jesus' name, God. And we thank you for the time.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, as we prepare to go into the Love, Life, and Victory portion of the call, are there any new callers that might have joined the call that would like to say good morning and announce yourself? Are there any victors that joined the call a little late that would like to say good morning?
Good morning, Susie, Miss D. Good morning, family.
Good morning, Miss D.
Good morning, Miss D.
Good morning, families, Brother Eric.
Good morning, Brother Eric. Good
morning,
Lisa.
Hey, good morning, Road Dog.
What's up, man?
Morning, family. It's Moni.
Good morning, Moni.
Good morning, Moni.
Hey, Miss D.
Miss Ravonda.
Good morning, Ravonda.
Good morning,
Ravonda. Hey.
Good morning, this is Kedra.
Good morning, Kedra.
Good morning.
Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Miss Tina.
Good morning, Tina.
Good morning,
Tanaje.
Good morning, Victory family. Y'all sound so wonderful this morning. God bless you.
God bless you too, brother.
Good morning, Dan.
Pardon me?
Good morning,
who is that?
Adrian.
Oh,
good morning, Brother Adrian.
Good morning, family.
Brother Adrian.
Brother Jeff.
Anyone else? Well, okay, family. Everyone have a beautiful, wonderful, God-filled day this morning as I pass the call to Sister Dee Dee. Love you all.
Well, amen, amen. And it is a great day just to breathe in this wonderful air. Thank you, Susie. Brother Marcus, what an amazing job. And I am honored to be able to fill in this morning. I had to step outside in this backyard, and I'm listening to the birds sing, as Brother Marcus said, because they're doing what they are created to do. I actually saw a squirrel. I was like, that squirrel is being a squirrel. I guess you would say he's squirreling. But I wanted to welcome you guys back to the call, those that stayed tuned in and those who heard that dope share from my brother Marcus about that 7 a.m. logic. Oh, my God. Can you imagine? Well, first, let me just go ahead and thank Sister Gwen for greeting and Susie and Juliet for the scripture. And, of course, Brother Marcus always just does an amazing job. And Sister Barbara for praying us in and my beautiful baby Sister Erica and that Pastor E.K. Dawson. My goodness. I agree with Brother Jeff. The sound this morning was, oh, my God, I hear some sounds. I hear some voices that I guess we don't normally hear, so amen for that. But can you guys imagine what this world would be like if nobody got up until they felt like it? How would businesses succeed? Schools would suffer. Your kids would suffer. The government would shut down. It would be chaotic. Nobody would have enough time to do anything with that 7 a.m. logic. So the truth is, no matter what time you decide to rise from your slumber, you have 24 hours. We all have 24 hours in a day to work with. So hitting that snooze button, it doesn't actually buy us any time. I know I hit it all the time because the work has to get done. It has to get done. And Brother Marcus pointed out so many good topics, like being part of the 99%. When we were created to be a 1%, to be unique and be who God created us to be and to know our purpose. Come out of hiding because somebody needs to hear from you. Stop being a spectator on the bench and get in the game. So with that being said, is there anyone on the call that's willing to get in the game this morning?
Good morning. This is Kedra.
Good morning, Kedra, sister.
Good morning, Dee Dee. Good morning,
hey.
Declare Victory family. So I am not exempt, you know what I'm saying? I have to repent because, yeah, I've hit that snooze button. Yeah, I have not operated in that purpose. But now that there's been divine appointments in my life, I am operating in my now, which is no opportunity wasted. Thank you, Pastor Jeremiah Martin, for sharing that. But I operate in my now, and even if my purpose isn't fully exposed to me, I still operate and do everything that I do as I'm doing it unto the Lord, because we were created to serve Him and please Him and do what is pleasing and acceptable unto Him. So, you know, if that is my purpose, any and everything I do as I'm doing unto the Lord. If I'm pushing the button, if I'm, you know, crossing the street, I'm using the crosswalk because the Lord says to obey the laws of the land. You know, if I'm, you know, giving somebody a smile or whatever it is, I'm smiling, showing them all 32 teeth. You know, because everything I do, I'm going to do as I do it unto the Lord. And, you know, that's all I got. And I just want to share that because I'm operating in my now. I don't waste any opportunity to tell somebody about the goodness of God or just show and let it reflect that I am His. Amen.
Amen, Kedra, and thank you for that. Thank you for knowing your purpose and that now, no opportunity wasted. That was good. I remember that too from Pastor Overseer Martin. Does anyone else want to share? Anybody else know what they're supposed to be doing? And not on the bench, not being a spectator, but knowing who God created you to be.
Hey, Sister Duty, this is Sister Gwen. I just wanted
good
to
morning,
say, good morning. I don't like to talk, but I wanted to share because Sister Moni made me aware of how important it is for me to continue to greet. Even though I sat on the sideline for a minute thinking that because I'm going through so much that I just can't do it. But the fact that she called me back and said, you know what, you need to jump on back in there no matter what you're going through and serve the Lord. And it feels good. You know, it's an awesome, awesome feeling to just get back in there and not give up and not focus on my problems, but focus on serving God, and even if it's a little thing.
I totally agree, Sister Gwen, and I'm grateful that you are pressing forward. And always when I see you when you visit Revival Center, your voice, your sound, you have a soothing sound, and she's right. Just keep going. Open it for your mouth because you have such a purpose, because everything that we go through is a purpose behind it. So I am grateful that you are greeting. It blesses me when I hear you.
Thank you, Sister Dee Dee. I appreciate it. God bless everybody.
Mr. Gwen, this brother Aaron, I just want to say how proud I am of you. I know that was a big step, and that was a growth. So I just wanted to let you know I'm looking forward to continue growth and praise God for it.
Thank you, Brother Eric. I appreciate you and your wife, Juliet. Thank you.
Thank you. We have anybody else this morning? Got any nuggets out of that amazing share? I know I did. That's 7 a.m. Logic, man. Thank you, Brother Marcus. I know you have to go, but that's some good stuff. Anybody else want to be not part of the 99%, but the 1%, be really who God called you to be? And a lot of times we're waiting on God, and you hear people say all the time, and, you know, Lord, I need you to do this, but He's already prepared it for us. We just got to do it. Sitting there on a bench waiting for Him, we have to do it. He's already given it to us. So we have to take that initiative.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. Good morning, Dee. It's Miss Dee.
Good morning, Miss Dee.
Hey, man, I didn't want to start talking and you were getting ready to say something. So, getting out on that field is scary, but and getting hit is scary. You know how when, I'm just going to use that analogy, when you're on the field running, it's like getting ready to hit you or something's getting ready to hit you, you kind of tighten up. I was like that all day yesterday, tightened up. But I sat still and stayed prayerful. The work I do in the community, what God has sent me to do, I get really nervous about it every time I get off the bench. And He amazes me every time through my nervousness, through my fear, through my feelings of inadequacy. And, you know, the scripture that says, in your weakness, my strength is perfected. He perfects himself during those moments. And this has been a six-year journey for me. I know sometimes it may look like to others that, you know, this just happened. But I was telling somebody last night, because this past 3 days was the first time that I kind of was moving and pulling other people with me versus standing in with others. God manifested so big yesterday. I'm just blown away. And it's because of obedience, doing it even when I'm afraid and don't know what to do or what I'm going to say, because people kept asking me, what's the agenda? What's the program? I don't have one. It's God's program. Whatever he says, when I open my mouth, that's what it is. It's just been amazing. I love being on the field. I love the run. I love the feeling in my heart that feels so big that the energy doesn't leave. The Spirit of God is just magnified. I was up till 1 o'clock last night just praying and praising him, listening to what others were saying and praying back for other people, because the Spirit of God was so huge on my life yesterday. And just being a running back, a quarterback, just not being a sideliner, it's a life-changing experience. And God is always at work. And when I listen to him and follow what I sense him saying to me, his Spirit moves mightily. I want to thank you guys for prayers and, you know, supporting me, because I get calls and just reminding me to rest and take care of myself and pray with me. Because it's a tedious, tedious job to be playing on that field 24/7. Thank you.
My sister soldier, I have to say, you are such a warrior. You that's your purpose. You are made for the ministry that God has called you to. And you know, I'm always with you if I'm not there, the times that I can make it. But that fearlessness that you say you do it in fear, I get so emotional. And I too agree with those who tell you you're such a warrior. Put your oxygen tank on, because that's a lot. That's a battle that a lot of soldiers won't show up to. Getting out there in the communities, you know, you're on the crime scene. You're doing footage. You get more footage than the news reporters, because you're there and you care and you're concerned. And like you said, to hear the screams, you know, it's different to sit in your house and watch on the news or sit on the internet, but to be actually out there and you got to see the bullet casings and the yellow tape and hear the you can't forget the screams of the family members, and you can't unsee what you saw. So I love you so much, and you have truly blessed my life. You've even encouraged me. So I'm not doing my 7 a.m. logic. And I want to thank you, because the first time I helped you with a repass for that young man, that was me coming out of my comfort zone. Because I'm not afraid of a lot of stuff, but that was a total different environment for me. So I appreciate you for that, sister. And that made me do more. And then a couple more people needed help, and I didn't even know them. But because of you pulling me on with you, I was like, okay, well, I'm off. Let me go, you know, drop some water, some sodas or whatever off. But in the process of that, I ended up staying and helping and serving. I don't know these people, but they're God's people, and they were in need. You know, the lady who lost her daughter. I didn't know, not really know the family, but I was there, and another youngster was murdered, and I was able to go and love on the family and serve at the repast and show up. And even the couple of times I was out with the ceasefire down there on Cutting, that was out of my element. Even though I am from Richmond, I grew up on First and Bissell, but I've been out of the community. Went to church in North Richmond, but to be at the city council when all the kids were getting shot down in Richmond, to go and sit there and hear the young people talk about how they had postpartum PTSD and afraid to go to school, and, you know, it's a lot to this. So you're a mighty woman of God, and I just appreciate you. Like you said, you ain't on the bench. You got in the game. because you know what your purpose is, and you're being who God created you to be. So I thank you, Miss T. I love you. And even with this morning, I wasn't prepared to do this part of the call because I'm Friday Night Live girl. But God tells you, you know what to do. If he says go, I go. I'm not like, Lord, I'm waiting on you to give me a sign. I'm going to pray for you. No, go. If you say go, I'm going to go. I'm going to do what you want me to do. Good morning.
Amen.
Hey, Dee Dee, this is Deborah Yvonne.
Hey, Deborah.
I just wanted to say something to Miss Dee that I felt the same thing what you were saying. I felt the same thing, that God truly has her where she is to be, and that just think of it this way. If you wasn't doing what you was doing, Miss Dee, who would do it? So you are the one that he has sent, and I just admire you. And the Lord, from what I felt in my spirit, God is so proud of you. And he's just saying, just keep going. Just keep going, because I am with you every step of the way. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Sister Dee Dee.
Good morning, Brother Jeff.
Good morning. I just love you guys. There is so much healing in this line. My God, I was just, I didn't hear the declaration from the beginning. I came in the middle, and I guess he was speaking on how when LeBron's speaking, you know, the way he came in and, you know, he went into, you know, getting off the bench, and those that are sitting on the bench are really spectators. And, you know, I could really relate to what I did here. You know, but as you guys were just sharing, speaking, I was, God say, Jeff, there are certain people that are built for the position that they hold. And there's a whole lot of different positions we have in life. And you know, I always functioning from a position of the supporting cast, you know, and you know, it's like there's a leading player, there's the star of the match, and he get the Oscar, you know, but then there's also those that support the leading cast. And I always, for me, the way I look back at the way I've lived my life, I've been that second string player, you know, and I've always been okay with supporting the varsity, the leading player, and because, you know, they were built for their position, you know. But and it's like God says, okay, Jeff, yeah, all this time you've been riding the bench. You know what I'm saying? You've been spectating. It's been like you've been that supporting role, that supporting cast. It's been like a training ground for you. But, yeah, it's going to be a time, Jeff, when you're going to have to step up and get in the game, you know, and participate. So I really enjoyed the declaration this morning, and I can identify with a lot of it. And I'm looking forward to getting in the game, you know, because God's been working on me, and he's been preparing me for a very long time. And, you know, I just pray that the fire doesn't run low, you know, because, you know, I don't want to be lukewarm in this battle. You know, I'd rather stay hot, you know. I really desire to stay hot, you know, don't want to go cold, but definitely don't want to be lukewarm. So I just love this line, you know, and y'all feed me so much to make me want to jump up off this bench, you know. So, but there's going to be more will be revealed. So Thank Brother Marcus for me for that declaration.
I sure will, Brother Jeff, and thank you for your sharing as well. Yeah, I've been along with you this journey, and I agree. It's nothing like Declare Victory. It's really a place of love and growth, and it's like, for me, the analogy that I have is sitting on the bench, and you know the team, the starters, each one has, you know, they've been playing so hard that they get weary, and then they start losing steam on the floor. But the second string sitting there, nervous, whatever, for whatever reason, we hear it all the time. I'm not ready yet, or I'm waiting on, you know, we hear the waiting on. What you waiting on? God has given it to you. You have a testimony. Each and every one of us have been through something. So sit there and not open up your mouth and say, hey, tag me in, coach. Put me in the game so that those starters can come out and rest and take some water, get a water break, and get their strength back up so they can get back out there. That's what being a team is, you know, to help one another. The starters need a break too. And you also need to not sit on what you've been through, because I'm telling you, I guarantee you, we all have a testimony to bless somebody else that's going through the same thing that we got delivered from, what we're dealing with. But part of it is the enemy. A lot of it is the enemy has a way of stifling those that aren't bold, because, you know, a lot of people, well, they're shy. Okay, be shy. But while you're being shy, you're falling back, and you're still sitting on the bench, and the game is going on, because that's how life is. It don't stop. It's not going to stop because you're not ready. You know, and that's still, that goes back to that what Valerie said, that Pip called procrastination. It's a part of that, too. We don't want to call it what it is because, you know, we don't want to offend anybody. And that's not being offensive. It's just being truthful. We don't always feel like doing what we're called to do. So we'll put it off and we'll hit that snooze button. I'll do it later. I'll get up. Even me. I talk about me all the time. I'm about to be 49. Get your butt online and get back in class. That's what I'm saying to me. That's my talk. I don't have an excuse. Other than doing better than I think I'll do. That's my thing, because I love to study. I love to learn. I love it. I'm a note taker. I just love, that's my, I've always loved to just learn new things. And so, you know, we have to stop being procrastinators, even in our prayer life. You know what I'm saying? There's people that, I'm not, no disrespect, step your prayer life up too. You have to believe what you're asking God for. You have to believe it. You know what I mean? It's so much going on in this world. We don't have time to, if God, no, God's going to do it, but you have to believe it. You can't doubt. You know what I mean? You have to really be sure of who you are, and that's why it goes back to knowing him, knowing the word for yourself, and know that you know without a doubt, so you're not just showing up for practice and you're never playing. You're just showing
Dee Dee.
Up. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I was listening to Brother Jeff and what you were just saying about that. The person, we're using the analogy of the game. The lead person is usually a quiet person who doesn't say a whole lot off the field. They do what they do on the field, and they're a dynamo at it. But the importance, the reason they are so good is just like God structured the body of Christ, and we all have different stations. That's why the team, the body, makes that lead person stronger. Because without the body, the head ain't going nowhere. If it don't have no legs and arms up under it, it ain't moving. It ain't even going to survive what's going on out here in this world. When I'm out there, it's like I'll be holding people. I'll be like, I need you. I need you. I need you. When Moses had Aaron and Joshua, when he got tired, he sat on that rock and they hold his arms up so they could keep fighting that war, keep winning, because he was tired. But when his arms dropped, they would begin to lose. It is so important for the body, each part, to know, like you said, its area, like he said, to know what you do. Because nothing functions of its own self. And being a Christian, that's something, a believer in Jesus Christ, that we, the body of Christ, have to realize. And that sometimes that causes contention between, because everybody is not clear on their role and their part and their activity in the body. And it causes those clashes where, you know, sometimes if someone, they feel like they're supposed to lead something, or someone should be leading something else, and the one who has been leading doesn't want to relinquish the perceived powers that they've gained. So it's a lot of prayer and preparation and listen to the Lord in all areas, because it can become entangled. It can, and then it'll tangle up the body. Ooh, I got a declaration for that one, talking about that blood flow. It'll cut off the blood flow. And something is going to die off that should be living and manifesting more Jesus' love in this world. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, I'm done. Hopefully that made sense.
Good sense. Yep. Good sense. It does. The whole body needs to function together, because even though, like you said, the arms, the legs, but if that mind ain't right, the head of it, it has to, you know, it has to trickle down. This has been good stuff, you guys. Is there anyone else that has anything they want to share this morning? Good morning.
Good morning.
Who's that?
It's me.
Who is me?
Oh, this is Ruth.
Good morning, Ruth.
You know I'm the only one to say me, but I wanted to say this. You are definitely answering your calling, missionary sister. I want to say bishop, and no, I'm just playing. No, but I want to thank you, sister. On and off Facebook, you, you know, always praising the Lord, and, you know, you're very encouraging, and no matter what nobody say, like you said yesterday, I absolutely love your post. And I look for your posts. And some people that are, really want to say this real quick, that are on Facebook, I kind of miss them when they're not on there, because they're a lot, they are very positive. But I want to say to Miss D, people are counting on you. People are counting on Rodney Alamo. You guys are actually the only faces that I see out there when things, you know, happen, and the family members out there mourning at the scene of the crime. People are counting on you. I know for me, when I had to go to the crime scene, there was nobody but me, my husband, Kyle, and Pastor Lavelle came out. You know, when in this, you know, in this day and age, when you can't even call the police, you don't even want to call the police. So who do you call? You can't call the mayor, the city council, or the city of Richmond. You know, they don't come to the crime scene. So people are depending and they're counting on you, Ms. D. And, you know, to hear your testimony, and you say when you come from the streets and you've been in the streets, you ran the streets, and now you are blessing the streets. You're covering the streets right now. There's not a lot of Ms. D's in Richmond, unfortunately, when there should be, because we all, you know, we all came, most of us came from Richmond. But there is one Ms. D in Richmond that's out there at the crime scene with the families praying. You know, and I just want to say that my calling, I know, is to be a helper. I've always wanted to help people since I was young age, and it may come from being the oldest of seven. But and Pastor Coleman reminded me on Sunday. He walks up to me, and I, you know, I've said this, told the story before. People used to call me Costco, because anything you wanted, this is back in the day, I could get it. It didn't matter what you wanted. I had no fear when I was out there. I could get you anything that you wanted, from a car, a house, a man. It didn't matter. I got it. Money, it didn't matter. But today, I'm glad God has delivered me. But Pastor Coleman walked up to me Sunday. He said, Ruth, he said, Costco, I need you to help. I have a family that's going to be evicted, and they need some resources. So, okay, put my cape on. On Monday, call the young man, gave him a bunch of numbers, resources to call for agencies that help with eviction. And I'm not sure how that's going. I know he's waiting on callbacks. But I told him in the midst of everything, because I wanted to go out and just ask one of my broker friends just for the money, you know, so this family wouldn't be evicted and then he could pay them back. And I would take responsibility. But I told him, I said, look, I didn't want to ask nobody for nothing. If the agencies don't help, I said, do this for me, brother. Pray for me this Saturday when I go out to feed hopefully over 1,000 people. I said, pray for me that I make enough money so on Saturday I can call you and say, I got the $900, and then you just pay me back. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
That's a powerful testimony, Ruth. Powerful. God is good. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Ruth. Sorry for that. I had a wife assignment to do real quick. I get the copywriting. But that's amazing. You're right. That purpose thing. And I'm glad when you, I heard you say you, Pastor Coleman, told you, that right there that you went to PFBC on Sunday, that's an assignment. Just hear me when I say that. You hear me what I say? That's an assignment, Ruth.
Yes, I could have been there any Sunday, but that Sunday, last Sunday, he came to me, and this young man this week was going through eviction.
Yep.
And it could have been, I haven't been to PSBC in over a year.
Right.
But God is, yes, that's amazing. So y'all pray for me as Saturday comes. Yes.
Amen. I'll pray for that family too, because there's a lot of families that are being displaced. And so, yeah. Is there anybody else?
Yes, Sister D, this is Brother Eric.
What's up, Brooklyn?
Hey, what's up? What's up? Great dialogue. I was thinking, as Sister D and Brother Jeff was talking about the game, and you were also, I was thinking, everybody can't be on the field, but there's something, because I played sports, and there were times when I started, and there were times where I'm working my way on being a starter. But there's one thing that the great equalizer, and that is practice. Because though you're in part of sports, the game is only one day out of the week. But every day you practice. And every day that you practice on that field, everybody is active. Okay? It doesn't matter whether you're second string, third string. Everybody gets a chance to practice. And, I was thinking about, we practice every day so that when game time comes, even though we're not on the field, even though we're in a support role, we're prepared and we're ready. Should the call come for us to get in the game, we're already ready. We're already experienced being knocked around. We're already experienced catching the ball. We're already experienced running the plays. And being having that experience of being on the field, so that when actually game time comes, that we'll be ready. And I think that's good for all of us. Everybody doesn't do a declaration every week. Everybody doesn't do a scripture, or everybody doesn't greet. But you have to know what your purpose is, and even if you're not operating in a public arena, we all can practice. And what I mean is that we all can better our gifts. We all can develop our gifts through daily devotion and through the repetition of what we do to make ourselves better, so that when that game time comes, if we're called, we're ready to stand in. And that way, if somebody should fall, the team was able to go on. So thank you very much. God bless everybody.
Amen, Brother Eric, and you're so right. You got to be ready because you never know. That's funny you say that, because I think it was in my spiritual warfare class, I think the second one, the pastor did he used me because I guess I was probably turning around talking. I wasn't paying attention. But when I turned back around, he was in my face, like right in my face. And because I didn't blink, he made me get up then, right in front. And I think I had to do a declaration, like, get up and declare, Sister D, because my focus was off for the moment, but I think somebody probably asked me for a pen or something, I don't know. But he used that to remind me how you got to stay ready. So even though I had no, idea that I had to get up right then and there in front of them 40-some people, and keep in mind, that was some years ago. So I was, my God, in front of these people, and then you got to pray, and you got to declare some things of your life. But that's kind of how I look at it, too. It's like, we all have different roles to play. There are some that do you really, would you know how to pray? You know what I'm saying? Do you know how to pray when your family needs you? Are you dependent on others? That's the part we have to get past, too. Don't, because you may not have a declare victory to call in to. You got to know it. You have to have it in you. That's why it's so good to study that for yourself and get those scriptures in you, so you'll know how to repeat God's word back to him. And then you'll know what his will is. But you can't know it. You can't say it if you don't know it. You know what I mean? And he will answer us, but like the book we're reading on the women's call, the answers, how does he answer you? Sometimes it's immediately. It's different ways that he'll answer you, and sometimes he's answered, but we haven't heard because we don't know what we're looking for. So, yeah, it's good. Thank you, Brother E. Anybody else? It's about, what time is it? I can't even see. 7:37. Do we have anyone else that has anything they want to share this morning?
Good morning.
Good morning. Is that you, Brother Adrian?
It is.
Good morning, Brother Adrian.
Good morning, TV. One of the things I have noticed, and this happened to me before, and I thank God for my pastor, because of the class he used to give, but his class was about recognizing and knowing what you know and standing on what you know. A lot of times, Christians back down because of people's asking questions that confuse them. And, you know, it's kind of rough. I could say, like, one of the things that we talked about was we watch what other Christians go through when people are asking them, is there really a God? And so we become nervous of what we know, because we use scriptures, and the people be like, oh, there you go, use the scriptures. Tell me something I don't know. Well, what I'm trying to say is you have to know that God is real for yourself. And and sitting on the sideline doesn't mean that you don't know. It just means that you have to practice more and get yourself more accustomed to being able to stand on what you believe. See, there are some people who know God from other people. They know what they've heard. They know what their parents may have said. They know what may have been taught to them. But they have never really tried to experience and learn of who God really is for themselves. And so they stand on what they've heard or they may have read, but they don't know, they don't have that personal relationship. And so for them, they get confused when someone asks them questions. But there's a point where you have to know that everything that you see has God's works in it. From the breeze blowing that you can't see where it comes from or where it goes, but yet you know it's there. You know, one of the things that the people like to try and trip Christians up with is, if God is so powerful, can he make a rock that he can lift on his own, that he can't lift? And see, the context is two different. The context is off. God was before time. In other words, he's spaceless, matterless, and timeless. So to try and make a rock that he can't lift doesn't even go into the same context. So it's simple things like that that they try and trip a Christian up with to make them doubt. But God created everything. All things were created at one time. And, yes, there was a big bang, but it was when he said, let there be, and it was. So there are things that we tend to trip on, and so we feel not confident enough to really just say, yes, I believe God, and there is a God, and scientists have proven that there's an intelligent being, and there are things that can help strengthen your walk, where you'd be like, I'm not afraid to say what God has shown me. I'm not afraid to show you how God is working and everything, because there are systems in the world that continually do what they're supposed to do. Like Brother Marcus said, the animals do what they're created to do. Well, the earth does what it's created to do. It has a system, and one of the systems is the rain. The rain comes down, it waters, it evaporates, and it goes back up. And it does it again, continually. It's always continually watering the earth. Okay, it brings forth life, and it doesn't ever stop. No matter what fire burns down every forest, new life always comes in. So the earth is continually doing what it's supposed to do. The trees, they create the oxygen. No matter what goes on, it's still creating oxygen. So it's a systems in place that the world has, that God has placed and caused it to do. And it does it. Like the word says, the sea shall not pass the sands. Well, the seed may come up on the land, but it goes back, and it never comes further than it's supposed to. Okay, so we have to start recognizing that God has everything, has created everything, and scientists have proven that everything is delicately balanced, and it had to be created by an intelligent being. And that intelligent being had to be timeless, spaceless, and matterless. And that's God. They may not want to call him that, but that's who he is. And he created everything. Like the earth's core is certain thickness that it keeps us, the earth from being too hot or too cold. The atmosphere is a certain way. It's like everything is delicately balanced to protect us and keep us alive. And if it were off just a fraction, we would die. If it was too much oxygen, we would die. If the sun was a fraction closer, we would die. It's like there's so much in the world that shows that God exists, and people don't want to see it because they want to be lawless. But as Christians, we have to be able to stand and say, okay, I know what I know. I believe what I know. And there's a book, if anyone's interested in, it's called I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. And that book will tell you of different things that scientists have proven. It will tell you and help you, strengthen you to believe and stand. So when people say something crazy, you're like, oh, no, I know what God has done. I know what he can do. And I can show you what he's doing. So we have to just be able to stand. And we have to get into the politics as much as they say politics and Christians should be. We need Christians in politics, because Christians will see and react and do what God has said the way we're supposed to do, as opposed to letting people who don't believe in God do whatever they want to do. I hope that made sense.
Amen. I'm sorry for the bag. Yes, it does, Brother Adrian. Thank you so much for that share. Awesome. It's clear. It's clear. It's just a lot. I mean, This topic is always just, we could talk about this all day, but we're not going to. We can go ahead and wrap up the morning. If there's no one else that has anything that they would like to add or share or say this morning. Amen. So I want to thank you all for tuning in, Brother Marcus, for that amazing declaration and for all the dialogue and those that got in the game this morning, even those that sat out and just listened. I hope you got something out of it and that you will apply it to your day, that it will make you go into the Word for your own self and just strengthen your walk in this thing called life, because that's what it is. It's a walk. I want to share before we end, it's Philippians 1:6, and I'm going to read it from the Message. It says, every time you cross my mind, I break out in exclamations of thanks to God. Each exclamation is a trigger to prayer. I find myself praying for you with a glad heart. I am so pleased that you have continued on in this with us, believing and proclaiming God's message from the day you heard it right up to the present. There has never been the slightest doubt in my mind that the God who started this great work in you would keep at it and bring it to flourishing finish on the very day Christ Jesus appears. Have a blessed day, y'all. It's Thankful Thursday. Don't forget the different calls tonight, the Men of Value, and the Walk It Out call at 6. So have a wonderful day and bless somebody. Be a blessing. Love you all.
Love you too.
Peace. Yeah. Love.
Have a blessed day. Thanks, Dee Dee.
Love you all. Have a good day.